My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition and the final edition of the show until before we go on a little hiatus here on the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Chris Nocero, Jay Binkley. Man, it has been a long weekend here, and we anchored almost the entirety of the 2024 NFL draft.
We started looking at these prospects right after the draft in Kansas City, man. Yeah. It's like we were so gung-ho, like, let's look at Detroit and look at the prospects, and it just so worked out. We, you know, spent a lot of time evaluating receivers throughout this throughout the process of these shows this fall about matchups, and you know, they drafted a receiver in the first round, so it ended up working out. But yeah, you're right, man. It was a lot of fun Thursday night at the landing. Then Friday night, Saturday afternoon. And then yesterday morning. And Sonny Dykes, the head coach of TCU, joined us yesterday to talk about Jared Wiley.
He's great.
Wiley. He's awesome. Yeah. And Imani Bailey, undrafted free agent running back. Sounds like Brett Veach had his press conference. Of course, earlier on this week, when you look at Monday, and, you know, looks like the running back will be a battle. It looks like, you know, Ingram's, you know, here, Denarik Prince here, obviously Imani Bailey. These undrafted free agents haven't officially been released yet. They will be by the time that this airs. But, you know, Wanya Moore, he reiterated Wanya Morris going to battle it out, you know, with Kingsley there at the left tackle position. And really, I mean, you're looking at battles, you know, Irv Smith and Jared Wiley, the tight end. I assume Wiley will win that one. And then which running back's going to end up on the roster? That's going to be kind of what we're looking at with Brett Veach, what he said in his post-draft press conference.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just kind of spearheads the idea of what the team's kind of been doing with the last three drafts, which has been a youth movement all throughout. And, you know, the Chiefs kind of put to bed that early Mahomes regime after the 21 season, and they traded away Tyreek Hill, and Tyrann Mathieu leaves in free agency, Anthony Hitchens leaves in free agency, and I think at that point you really kind of saw that, hey, we're done with, you know, trying to keep all these guys on these premium contracts. Here, we need to get younger. We need to get cheaper. If you remember, 22, first year that Mahomes extension kicked in. So, really, at that point, it was very much a youth movement. We got to win the draft. We got to hit on a lot of these picks. And we saw that in 22. They hit on numerous picks. You got almost all those guys that were almost all the guys drafted in that draft class saw some significant playing time on the field. 23, it was the same way. You saw a lot of those players go out there and be contributors. And so, yeah, here in 24, I think this is one of those drafts where you look at it and just on paper, it looks really nice, and you expect a lot of these guys to be contributors in the near future.
What we've seen is this roster flipped. Clearly, you know, since Mahomes has been a starter, you know, Winchester outdates him, Chris Jones and Travis Kelce, which, by the way, got his an extension? It was reported as extension this week. Essentially, a 2-year raise.
It wasn't an extension. They tacked on 2 more years to his contract.
But essentially, what it breaks down to is it was a raise for him, is how it works. Because he's deferred money, you know, in the past to build up the team. But here's, I think this draft kind of, and we'll go through these picks. I think it kind of symbolizes, you know, going forward. You know, that the Tyreek Hill, Taylor, the Travis Kelce, all that. These are the, you know, new weapons. You know, Xavier Worthy coming in here, and who knows what ends up happening to Wiley. But this transition to getting, you know, a new stockpile, because Mahomes is going to outlast everybody.
Right.
It's going to be much like Tom Brady in New England. You know, guys came and gone. Deion Branch, you know, Troy Brown, these receivers, Randy Moss, all these guys come and go. The one constant was Tom Brady. The one constant here is Patrick Mahomes. You're going to see, it's going to look completely different here. Mahomes, the second wave of his career.
And the thing that I think we were both concerned about is, are they going to continue to supply him with weapons? Because 2 years ago, you know, we were kind of looking at it as like, okay, maybe they'll get him some more help, because there were points where even with Tyreek on the field, you kind of worried about, okay, who's that number two guy? And, you know, it ended up working out and you were fine, but you definitely needed some more firepower in that offense. They were explosive, but they were explosive in a different way. They were very much like dink and dunk, yards after the catch, things like that. And then this past season, things were really different. There were times where it looked like they were like a heavyweight boxer with no punch power at all. And it was kind of a struggle. It was very frustrating. And we talked about all throughout the college football season, all throughout the NFL season, they need some home run hitters in their lineup. And they finally got some. Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice emerged during the season, and now you get a guy in Xavier Worthy. I think very much the Chiefs, you know, took the mission to heart this year, improve your offense. And, you know, they've been gung-ho on defense for the last couple drafts. It was very refreshing to see them commit themselves to the offensive side of the football. And I think we want to start with, you know, kind of going through where we think the projections will be for these guys in 2024. And obviously we had to start round one, pick 28, a spot we did not think that the Chiefs would be picking in, because the Buffalo Bills are in that spot.
It throws out evaluating the draft and thinking, all right, here's a trade partner and here isn't.
Yeah.
Going to learn that lesson next year, because obviously it don't matter.
Clearly it doesn't matter up in Orchard Park.
I think some teams probably would resist the temptation.
Well, that was something that Veach did say.
I don't think the Bengals would have done this.
I don't think so either. And I think, you know, that was one of the things that Veach talked about, was like there were some teams that told them no.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because they were dead set on certain players and whatnot, or they could have been dead set, hey, we don't want to help you because you won the last 2 Super Bowls. But, you know, I think from a projection standpoint for Xavier Worthy, I think you look at the skill set he has, and I think you look at the fact that he's not going to be the only guy in the offense that's going to be productive, we don't think. You still have Travis Kelce. You still have Rashee Rice, even though, you know, he's probably going to be suspended for a set amount of games. And then Hollywood Brown comes in, and, you know, we assume that there's going to be good production on his part. I think for Xavier Worthy, I think you look at him, and as long as he can go out there and give you the kind of production that, like, Tyreek Hill gave in 2016, his rookie year, where he was this gadget player that played all over the place, was used in the run game, in the pass game, the return game, and he was explosive in all those different facets. I think if you get that from Xavier Worthy in year one, I think you're incredibly happy.
Yeah, I think so, too. And what a perfect spot. You know, you come in here, he'll learn from Hollywood Brown. You know, you learn from a guy.
He'll learn from Rashee. He'll learn from Kelce.
And Mahomes being there directing traffic. And, you know, just like Sonny Dykes, the coach of TCU, told us yesterday from Camp Pat the year before, they did it down at TCU, you know, right there where he was. And, you know, Mahomes directs traffic. He tells you where to go, where to be, and what he's looking for. So all these type of things. And again, it's a professional organization. Guys know what they're doing at all times. And having Xavier come in here, and not only that, but being the good returner that he is. As far as the return game is going to be different, and it sets up this offense and field position. Xavier Worthy, yes, I expect him to be on that return unit as he gets his snaps elevated, like we saw with Tyreek Hill, and especially if Rice misses games, you know, more and more Xavier Worthy. And I keep seeing that, well, just the speed guy thing. No.
Yeah, it's just, it's become like one of the predominant narratives about him.
Listen, Mecole Hardman, John Ross, all these guys.
Marquise Godwin.
All these guys. Not one time were any of these guys with three-year stretch third in the NCAA in receiving yards.
No.
Ahead of Xavier Worthy the last 3 years, names like Romo Dunze and Malik Nabers. That's the list.
Two top 10 wide receivers.
Two top 10 wide receivers. That's who was ahead of Xavier Worthy. He's definitely qualified to be that first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, he had over 900 receiving yards as a true freshman at Texas.
He was like 980, real close to 1,000.
Yeah, it was almost 1,000 yards as a true freshman in a Power 5 conference for one of the most prominent schools in the Power 5. And that's incredibly difficult to do, especially you come in at that size.
And now he's got a better quarterback. And he's
this is the reason why I think he's going to be productive. It's like, you look at his last year at Texas, and, you know, he was just over 1,000 yards. But he probably could have been at least 1,500 if Quinn Ewers was better with his deep ball accuracy. Because there was a lot of throws where he beat his man, but the ball was so underthrown that it was either picked off or he had to turn around and stop his route in order to try to make an attempt to catch it. That's not going to happen very often, if at all, in Kansas City with Mahomes as your starting quarterback. So I think if you watch the film, you can tell this kid's going to be really good. If you just look at the measurables and the 40 time, and then you infer based off other receivers of that same stature and 40 time, then I think, you know, you're going to come to the conclusion that you have that he is one of those non-successful small guys. But if you watch the film, you know that this kid's going to be a gamer.
You're going to change with Brown his 4.27 speed and Xavier with the 4.21. It changes the dynamic. Travis Kelce's, I know he gets the the day with the contract,
right, yeah.
But it opens his game up. Like it opens him up in the middle of the field because of, you know, having these weapons on the outside. Not to mention Hollywood Brown, as we've talked about. You know, he's brought in here. The Chiefs don't pay the wide receiver tax. They're going to start drafting him now, and Hollywood Brown's going to listen. He's probably going to put up numbers, and his numbers are going to translate into big payday. It might not be here. Brett Veach even said as much in his pre-draft press conference that, well, we have Hollywood Brown for a year because he is here on a one-year contract. So, yes, Xavier Worthy. You and I kind of backed down on Xavier Worthy mocks early on because of Hollywood Brown's addition.
Yeah.
But that's what they're going to do going forward. So they're going to have that type here. It's going to be Xavier Worthy probably only at this point. They'll get a different receiver added in.
Plus, I think a lot of it was just we kind of looked at the other guys that were sitting right there, Brian Thomas Jr., we thought he was probably in tradable range, and A.D. Mitchell, and you look at A.D. Mitchell, and A.D. Mitchell, he has elite speed. What was it, like 4.33 or, you know, 4.34. 4.34 speed, and he had a much bigger frame. This is a guy who ran a 4.34 at the combine, weighing in at 205 pounds at 6'2", and we kind of like that speed-size combination a little
Texas
better.
Texas had him at 6'4". Imagine that.
Yeah, you know how it is. You know how those teams are.
It was a big stretch, 2 inches, though.
Yeah, you know that.
Usually it's one, but, you know.
Right, yeah, you know how it is, though. Sometimes they do
that, too. Xavier was 6 foot, too, on that roster at Texas.
I mean, when I was in high school and I played football, they added 3 inches to my height.
Hell, I'd be 6'6" at Texas.
Yeah, they told that when I was a sophomore, they listed me as 6'1", and I was 5'10". So, like believe me, I know it firsthand. They do it on NBA rosters all the time, college rosters. It's just a normal thing there. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I think he fits what the Chiefs really like. He fits what they needed. They needed him more than anything. Yeah. It was a speed style receiver that's going to stretch things out. You know, yes, it's nice to have the bigger, more physical receiver too, but this team at its best is when they've got that true, reliable deep threat that can stretch the field, that can test safeties. And now you look at it, like the big talking point now is with Hollywood and Xavier Worthy over there, now Travis Kelce, now Rashi Rice, now...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Isaiah Pacheco should eat this year.
Yeah, we saw a decline.
Because it's going to open things up with him.
We saw a decline across the NFL where the yardage went down for quarterbacks, the yards per attempt, and a lot more. Last two decades, more throws behind the line of scrimmage because it was like a lot of the short game. So it does definitely change that perspective for what the Chiefs can do in offense.
Yeah, and you know, I expect running game should work a lot better. Because like, here's what's going to happen, I think, early in the season. What's going to happen is teams are going to, you know, try to test them and see if these guys are for real, and then they're going to get burned. Hollywood's going to burn them. Xavier Worthy, I wouldn't be shocked. Game one, you know, should they play like Houston, which everyone thinks is they're going to play. They try to test them, and they try to press him at the line of scrimmage or something, and the Chiefs do like get him off a jet sweep motion. He goes down the sideline. Mahomes, perfect pass over the top. He's an elite. He's got elite ball tracking skills over the shoulder, so he doesn't need to like stop and turn around to locate the ball. He can just keep running in stride and pull it down, kind of like Tyreek was. And yeah, I mean, I'd expect he gets one loose. He goes down the field. All of a sudden, everybody's backing their coverage off because they're worried that he's going to kill him again.
His drop rate extremely happens, low.
Yeah, I know. And it was funny. It's like Colin Cowherd today, you know, it came out on his podcast. He said that, you know, like Xavier Worthy had a drop problem when he was at Texas. And I was like, well, first off, Marvin Harrison Jr. had more drops than he did this year. Malik Nabers had just as many drops as he did this year. And Brian Thomas Jr. had just as many drops as he did this year. Not only that, but Troy Franklin, another guy who was a fringe first-round pick, was a guy that had almost twice as many drops as him. And some people considered him to be a better receiver than Xavier Worthy.
This guy on Twitter, his name is @quote_icy. He goes, notable drop rates in the 24 draft class. Troy Franklin, as we know,
yeah,
led
the way
7.3%.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman, 7.2%. Marvin Harrison, 6.9%. Ladd McConkey, 6.3%. Xavier Worthy, 5.4%.
Yeah.
Out of that notable group.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a lot of the people who are making these evaluations and talking about these players haven't done enough research. And that's the reason why if you haven't done your research and you're saying he's Marquise Godwin, he's John Ross, your opinion doesn't matter because you clearly haven't done the research. So let's continue talking about the guy they took in the second round, 63rd overall, Kingsley Suamataia, left tackle from BYU. And, you know, Britt Veach kind of had an interesting thing to say about the left tackle situation. We've talked about all throughout this process, we think it's going to be Wanye starting left tackle, or at least going to be in line for the starting left tackle. They bring in Donovan Smith, left tackle from last year. They battle it out, and whoever wins, wins. But it kind of seems like The Chiefs obviously traded up one spot to go get Kingsley Suamataia. And then they basically, Brett Veach said during his post-draft press conference today, they're basically going to battle it out and, see what they have there. And if they feel like they need to go get another signing for that left tackle spot, that's what they're going to do. Otherwise, the winner is going to be the starting left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs in 2024.
Yeah, and the loser becomes the backup in case something happens to Juwan Taylor. You know, just slide it back over because Kingsley, plenty of experience playing right tackle and left tackle. Obviously, Wanye Morris can do it too. So if some reason something happens to Juwan, he would move over to their side. There's a chance both of them are playing at some point. Who knows what's going to happen. But the bottom line is, and it's kind of the theme of the draft, they got players in spots and people are projecting them much higher. I mean, they got value. And I liken it to like Veach going Christmas candy shopping. You know, you're not going to buy it on the day before because it's expensive.
Right.
But you go the day after and clean up, right?
Yeah, Halloween.
Yeah, you discount on it, or Halloween, Christmas, whatever.
Yeah, I've never heard of Christmas candy.
Oh, there's that too. Halloween candy is probably a better example, no question. But you know what I'm saying? Or he buys that house and flips it for $350 and he spent $75 on it.
Yeah.
But that's what he did. I mean, we got value here. And who knows whether they're going to trade up for Xavier. There was a talk, Veach said they talked about moving up to 20 or 21. And we don't know the player that they would have gone.
I think they alluded to Worthy.
Maybe it would have been Worthy thinking he was going to go earlier.
Press conference,
but with Kingsley, this was a guy mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs early in the first round. So, it's a bonus because you get Xavier and you get your left tackle going forward. And a guy that I think Kansas City Chiefs fans are really going to like that's going to fit right into the culture of what the Chiefs are.
Yeah, he came off very charismatic in his introductory press conference with the media. And, I think he's very athletic. He's one of the few tackles I saw in film that was pulling to the opposite side on runs like that and just smashing into these linemen.
So you're going to need, these linemen are going to have to move, man. Yeah. They're going to be in shape because the wide receiver screens you're going to see and stuff with like Xavier.
Exactly.
In Hollywood. Yeah. They're going to be right in front of those cats.
Right. And I certainly expect that he's going to be out there, leader of the convoy, just blasting these DBs, trying to create some space for these guys. And it was very apparent they got a type and he kind of fits that type. I'm actually really excited about what Suamataia can bring to this team because I think he seems like a very smart kid and he's incredibly athletic. And I think he's a guy that, like, if he becomes a good player for this team, the fans will really love him because he's very likable.
It's a common theme so far with these first two picks. Extremely football cerebral guys, very smart guys. It's kind of the theme of what this draft was. Team captains, a lot of them, and going forward, the kind of type. Xavier Worthy, we know, he's academic All Big 12, and how hard of a worker he is, and with Kingsley. So you get guys with really good football acumen. Back-to-back world champions. You don't expect training wheels when these guys are drafted. You expected guys that are mature that come in and play right away.
So they didn't have a third round pick because they obviously used that as part of the trade to go move up and get Xavier Worthy in the first round. So their next pick came on day 3, which was round 4, and they had two picks, one pick separating them, 131, 133. And with the first one, they took Jared Wiley, tight end at a TCU.
And this was that Bills pick, which was traded through. They moved down 38 spots.
This was the pick that they received essentially in a swap for the third round pick that they sent to Buffalo. They got this pick back.
And I think the important thing here, too, is Brett Veach went in with 7 picks. He's leaving with 7 picks. Yeah, he might have moved around.
It was great that they were able to not give up any picks.
And it almost doesn't matter. They weren't in the third round, to be honest with you, with the quality of these picks. So it actually worked out well for them. But, they went in with 7 picks, leave with 7 picks. Because even though they're making these deals like they did with San Francisco and Buffalo, they still got picks back at return. I wasn't like, okay, here's the third rounder. They got one back. So here's the third rounder. Give me the fourth rounder.
Yeah.
So it's what they in the pick swap in the 7th. But Jared Wiley, first team All Big 12 tight end. We had his head coach, Sonny Dykes, on, talk about what a tremendous catcher he is, a pass catcher. And the one thing I thought was interesting was they had red zone struggles last year, but it wasn't him. He goes, he had 8 touchdowns, which led the way in Division I football as far as for tight ends having touchdowns. You even go back to that Baylor game, he had an 81-yard touchdown. It really shows that he's not just this 5 yards and fall down type of tight end. He's a guy, when you go 81 yards and you outrun secondary and linebackers and stuff like that, you're an athlete. And he's a former quarterback that was going to go to Tech, or a high school quarterback, went to Texas, wasn't working out there, so he went to TCU.
Yeah, like I said, he's a really good athlete. He's a guy that was split out wide pretty regularly, kind of like Kelce. If you look at his measurables, similar to Kelce. I don't want to say this kid's going to be the next Travis Kelce, because that's a hell of a lot of pressure to put on a kid who's never played an NFL game. But the Chiefs definitely have a type when it comes to tight end, and they like the really athletic guys who can go vertical and get in, you know, get open in space. And I'm going to be really interested to see what they do here with them, because I think now, as you brought up earlier, Irv Smith, probably camp casualty. And I think that you look at that scenario, and there's a lot of really fun things they're going to be able to do there, running 12, maybe even 13 personnel with this guy, and really kind of opening things up.
And they usually one of the league leaders as far as, you know, two and three tight end sets.
Right. They couldn't do it as much last year just because Blake Bell was their third tight end, and he's just not reliable.
Blake Bell would always get that surprise catch once in a while. You know,
Every now and then, but he also dropped passes too.
Yeah, expect this tenfold from Jared Wiley. But the other thing too is, if Rice does have to miss games, do you give Justin Watson a few more snaps, or do you spend a lot more time in 12 and 13 personnel? Yeah. This is where Wiley could really be a benefactor. Not only that, but Camp Pat right there in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex expect Jared Wiley to be there soon, building that chemistry with Patrick.
Yeah, I expect him, you know, if he's not doing it this week, sometime really soon, he's going to be out there catching passes from him and trying to build that chemistry up. So, like I said, you watch that film, and you get really excited about what he could do. And then the other pick, they got two picks later. Probably my favorite player besides Xavier Worthy in this draft class. Jaden Hicks, a safety out of Washington State, former teammate of Jalen Watson, Chiefs cornerback. This kid, by some of the people out there, some of the draft experts, had him as their top safety in the draft and had a second-round grade on him. He goes in the late fourth round, and you watch the film, and I don't know what he looks like to you, but to me, he kind of looks like a Tyrann Mathieu type.
But much bigger.
Much bigger. And he plays, like, in the run game or in, like, the short passing game, he looks like a linebacker coming up. He flies into the box towards the run. He crashes the box for the run.
He's a thumper.
Yeah, he hits hard, and he does not let these guys go. Like, there's very, very little in terms of broken tackles out there.
From some NFL guys say, go ahead, good luck running the screen against the Chiefs.
Yeah,
they'll track you
good
down.
Luck outside zone on the Chiefs with this guy.
I saw him dominating Jalen Polk in a game from Washington when he played him, the Apple Cup with Washington State. He goes to the line of scrimmage. He can blitz the quarterback. He can hit. He can put him in run support. It's like having a smaller version of a linebacker.
Right.
But you get that speed. Linebackers are getting smaller and smaller.
They are,
in the NFL. But you're right. Dane Brugler, obviously from The Athletic, that does
maybe
a great job.
Maybe has the best in terms of like mock drafts and pre-draft
it was his number
materials
one safety.
Out there.
Number one safety. And now on his big board of all the prospects, top 100, he had him number 39. 39. That's incredibly. And to get him in the fourth round, this is probably the best value pick by Brett Veach, considered the round they were picked in and where they were supposedly going to go. It was too much to resist at this point. But a big hitter. Fans are going to love him. You love the big hits. Type of guy that could Spags guy, too. You know, you can get to the quarterback. You can cover. You can hit in the run game. Definitely a bit better in supporting the run game, as we've seen that get better with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, and their emphasis on trying to stop the run. Very important. But Jaden Hicks, he's one of my favorite players in this draft, too, to be honest with you. I like Wiley a lot, too. I like both the fourth-round picks. I thought fourth round was really a home run.
Yeah, certainly that. When I got home that night, and I just turned on the film for Jaden Hicks, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, you can watch that all night.
I was like, wow, like, this kid, he can play. I was like, how did other safeties go above him? Like, I can understand Tyler Newbin, because that was a guy that was like a fringe first rounder for most of the season, most of the draft season and whatnot. But like, I don't get why any other safety would have gone ahead of him. That really confuses me. And I'll be interested to see, like, if anyone ever comes out and says why he fell so far. I'll be interested to see what that was.
Him was at 6'3", 212. Of course, they got Xavier at 6'1", 212.
He's big, man. He's a big kid. And then in the fifth round, they get Hunter Norzad, a center from Penn State, but this is a guy who's very versatile. He has played all throughout the line. He was a center, but before that he was a guard. Before that he was a right tackle. He's played every position on the line except for left tackle. But this to me was, we were waiting for them to go get a guard slash center pick at some point there. We thought they might hit it in the fourth round. We thought they could also potentially trade up into the third round and either go corner or you know, interior lineman. But they get their guy. You listen to him. I listened to his introductory press conference. Smart kid. He's a guy that's, you know, prides himself on their versatility. I think this is really good value getting him in the fifth round.
Well, I think so too. And you listen to Brett Veach's press conference. He mentions Nick Allegretti. This is the Nick Allegretti. Nick Allegretti, right. Former seventh round pick who played.
He was a center.
He was a guard. He started in the Super Bowl because he had to start for Joe Tooney. But here you're losing Joe Tooney, one of the best guards in the National Football League, if not the best. And Nick Allegretti played hurt during the game and made you kind of forget about that. That goes to Washington, gets the contract. But he talks about Hunter Norzad in that way of Nick Allegretti, which is very high praise that you can play all around.
Yeah, tested well athletically. Seems like a very smart kid. I think this is exactly what they needed to go
get. And he's not just a center. He's a very good center when he moved there. And we're talking all Big Ten selection, second team.
Yeah, and he was a good guard before that, too. Like, I definitely think that this is very much one of those Andy Heck type picks where it's like, okay, we can put you in different spots. We can move you around. We can use you wherever we need to. And I definitely like that move. The next round, sixth round, they went cornerback Kamal Haddon out of Tennessee. This was a guy that when we did a mock draft back in the fall, I think it was in October, and I mocked him to the Chiefs. I believe it was in round six. And he was a big physical corner that could get guys at the line of scrimmage, that could make tackles, that could, you know, the only concern about him, the shoulder injury, which, you know, ended his season. And, certainly, like, I think right now he's able to resume physical activity, but it wasn't until recently that he was able to do it. He didn't do any testing at the combine. And, you just listen to him and, you know, he's here to compete. He's here to go out there and try to win a spot. And I think from a stylistic standpoint, he fits what the Chiefs like.
Got that Sneed type speed, or not speed, but size.
Physicality.
He's smaller. He's not as fast. Sneed was much faster.
He's 4'5", 7'40".
But he's got the physicality. Yeah. Like, I mean, a guy that maybe you're not expecting right away, but maybe, you know, down the road, halfway through the year or towards the end of the year. It was too much of a talent. This guy led the Tennessee in interceptions the last 2 years. And this year he did it, only playing in seven games because of that injury. You had mocked him earlier on when we did our Chiefs mock. I was going to do it in 2.0.
You did. You actually were looking for him, but he was already gone.
I was looking
by the time
for him,
and
he was selected because I go, oh, it's Kamal Haddon head, and we're going to get him. And we talked about him this weekend. We were talking about corners that were still out there. So I said, let's forget about Kamal Haddon. But Tennessee fans absolutely love him. This guy shined in the SEC.
Yeah, like I said, big physical. He's very smart, too. Like, he's a guy that he knows how to play the ball. He knows how to kind of disguise, you know, what he's doing. And he's very good with, like, his positioning because, again, he's not that fast. He's a 4'5", 7'40" guy, but he is very good at using his positioning to make up for that. I mean, and you know, like I said, he's very heady. He understands, okay, yeah, I got beat on the route. Okay, let me see if I can do something else to make this play happen. And there's like a highlight of him where, you know, he gets beat on a slant and he reaches in and snatches the ball out for a fumble.
He is a ball hawk.
Yeah.
He is a ball hawk. He takes the ball away. He's got that instinct about him and he can hit.
Yeah.
He'll come up and hit you.
Yeah, and
he could play safety too, in my
exactly.
opinion.
Exactly. And that's also another possibility for him. The only thing you worry about sometimes, and Jaden Hicks does this too, where like they will lower their head and just kind of blindly hit guys, like trying to do the blind like hit stick. And they can miss tackles every now and then because of that. So aside from that, though, big, strong, physical, and it gives you, I think, a lot of confidence that those guys can be impact players for the team here in the near future. And then finally, round seven, they took C.J. Hansen, a guard, an offensive lineman, you know, guard. He was from Holy Cross and, you know, really – more depth. I don't expect him to make the team. I think he might be more of a practice squad guy, depth guy. But they really kind of hit on really all the needs that they had and some of the like secondary needs, like getting, you know, some depth on the offensive
line. The athletic
line.
Profile, that RAS. I mean, he
tested well.
He's stronger than that.
All these guys tested well, athletic
I think
profile.
The second guy drafted from Holy Cross, FCS school.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, but so the breakdown, one wide receiver, obviously three offensive linemen, tight end, two defensive players. So five offensive, two defensive.
And we said it needed to be an offensive draft for sure. Like maybe one or two defensive guys, but it had to be an offensive draft.
And not only that, rounds 5 through 7, Veach, you know, talked about that. It's thin. And the depth wasn't there as much because the name, image, and likeness. Guys are staying in school longer. They're getting that check. They're saying, you know what, I'd probably make more money here at my school than being a fifth or sixth round pick. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, said the same thing, that, you know, having trouble filling out those rosters for the Senior Bowl because in the depth between rounds 5 and 7, it's just different. Get ready for the draft to be different rounds 5 through 7 with depth purposes.
So getting to the evaluation part of the draft, obviously, like, the grades don't really mean that much right now, but I if I were to give a grade to it, I'd have to say an A for how they handled everything. They handled all their needs. They went offensive heavy, which is something we've been talking about for, I mean, really in the last year and a half now, because we were talking about a lot going into last year's draft. And well, not a year and a half, just over a year. And I really think they addressed exactly what they needed. They did not reach at any position, I thought. I actually thought they maximized their value. And you kind of look at it and, you know, you didn't have a ton of draft capital. You didn't have very many valuable picks. Veach talked about that a lot on Thursday night, about the lack of value for their picks. And yet they still found a way to find great value with what they did. I mean, I think at this point now, like he showed you what could be another masterclass in handling the draft for a contending team.
And you have to have it. I mean, you look, I know Mahomes and Reed, you know, they deserve their accolades. But you got to have a good front office, man. You got to have a good front office to supply the talent. If you want to keep this thing up and not be like the Bucs to win the Super Bowl and disappear, be the Rams win the Super Bowl and disappear, Chiefs just keep going. They keep going because Veach is supplying the talent. They flipped this roster completely since when Mahomes has gotten here, and they keep bringing in fresh talent. But you got to do this stuff from the scouts on to Brett Veach. You constantly got to do it. And just like, you know, I've said before that, you know, at the parade after the Eagles Super Bowl, Veach, like, this is what a rebuild looks like, holding the Lombardi. And,
yeah,
you know, it's 61 starts for rookies that year. It was third in the NFL. Number one and two, pick number one and two in the draft. So he's getting the guys, and they're expected to perform. It's, you're kind of all on mode like the Steelers used to be and like the Patriots when you're drafted by the team. It's not like if you get drafted by the Cardinals or in Detroit in the past, not necessarily last year, but you still have the training wheels. You know, you don't have nearly as many expectations. We should get some acclimated, play in the National Football League, and you'll be ready next year. No, it's not the Chiefs. It's not about getting you ready for next year, whatever. Getting ready now. They're on a wood mission to three-peat right now, and it's drafting. 2 years ago, I felt, was draft for necessity. Last year was kind of luxury draft with some of the positions. This year, it was kind of both. Because, you know, Xavier's going to, you know, get in that rotation. Jaden Hicks, you definitely will see, you know, in this rotation. Jared Wiley will get his run with 12 and 13 personnel. Norzad, you hope to not use him as much this year because it means you got,
some injuries.
Injury.
Yeah.
Kamal Haddon, the same thing, not expect as much this year. But picks one, the first, you know, four picks with Worthy and Kingsley and Jared and Jaden, expecting these guys to play. I think they're contributing the back half of the draft, maybe not so much. The first, you know, four picks, I expect these guys to be contributors on this football team.
So the way I view it is that I think you were drafting for 2025 this year because I don't think you had any immediate needs with Hollywood Brown. You didn't need a wide receiver for this year. You needed a wide receiver for the long term. You needed a left tackle for the long term. You needed offensive lineman for the long term. Like, this year's roster, I think, was fine. I mean, you could argue Wanya Morris, left tackle, but they could always get Donovan Smith and come in and compete with him. But I think you drafted for future needs. You're going to need some
Worthy
guards.
Will be used, obviously, with Rice.
He will, but like, they didn't.
Worthy will be the most productive of these rookies, I hope, being a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think so, too. They didn't need to have him, but it was more of a long-term thing for 25 and beyond.
They got that speed quotient back, man. They're Legion of Zoom's back.
Right. And so I think that's where really where I think this was a draft of addressing the future. This was, we are going to hit on everything that we probably will need to hit in a year from. And if we hit on most of these things, next year's draft is a hell of a lot easier. And, you know, I think that you look at the 25 draft now, and it's like, you don't have quite as many problems, quite as many issues to address. And now you're getting ahead of the problem, because that was kind of the issue with the 22 draft, was that they needed guys to come in and immediately be impactful. And it worked. It actually ended up working out, because you got multiple starters. You got three guys who were starter quality at cornerback, and you got a starter. You got a starting edge rusher there with Karloftis, and you got a starter quality safety with Brian Cook. You know, starter quality linebacker with Leo Chanel. But it was not one of those. It was one of those drafts where, like, they needed to hit on a lot of those guys, and they needed them to be contributors. Last year, you definitely needed to get some more hits there on defense and build out your depth. But this year, I think, yeah, you're really just trying to address future needs. And there's not that many teams that have the luxury to do that. There's a lot of teams that very much need guys to come in and be impactful because they're deficient at something.
Yes. It's clearly a draft for Mahomes. I mean, this was Mahomes in mind. I mean, I remember last year sitting at the center block that Friday night, and I looked at you and Nick when I was there. I was like, all right, this is Mahomes' night. Make this about him.
Yeah.
And it was Rashee Rice and Wanya Morris. I was like, all right, make this the Mahomes' night. And they did. And this draft, you know, I mean, protection-wise and weapons to throw to, this is a very Mahomes. Not only that, they get some guys that played down in Texas. Xavier Worthy, even though not a Texas guy, played at Texas. And you got Jared Wiley, a high school quarterback from Texas that was at Texas and TCU. So, but this was all about Mahomes, this draft.
So, you know, kind of looking at where this team needs to go in the future, I mean, I think certainly next year, I think that the leader in the clubhouse as far as position that they got to hit on next year is going to be defensive tackle. They got a whole bunch of one-year deal guys, and you know, after this year, you're only going to have two guys under contract.
It's a better looking class than this year, actually.
Yeah, it is. It was a much better looking class, and this year's class at defensive tackle was good, but next year's class looks a lot better. At least right now, that could change. But I certainly think first round defensive tackle is where you're going to be looking for the Chiefs on defense.
Yeah, I mean, corner, I don't think is imperative. We'll see what happens.
I don't think it's imperative. They got a lot of DBs, man.
They have a lot of DBs. We'll see how Wiley turns out. Will it still be, you know, tied into, you know, thinking, okay,
yeah,
one more year
of
Kelsey,
we
get behind him. I still think wide receiver will be there if the right guy, the right situation, the right size, that's kind of different than the piece than what they have. Bottom line is a lot of things in play. A lot of things in play. A lot of directions they could go. Linebacker, too, is something they're probably going to have to address in the future. And offensive line, I mean, still in the interior part of the offensive line. The good news is there's not that one pressing need, but they can bolster this team for the future.
I think offensively, it'd be nice to go get like a slot receiver some point in the draft. I don't know if you need to address that. I don't think you need to address that day one, unless there's just a guy sitting there you just can't pass up. But I certainly think like day two, day three, you look at getting a slot receiver. I also do think, yeah, maybe a guard. That'll be guard or a center. That'll be nice. Norzad, I think, is a guy that they're going to definitely see what he can do. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up getting one of those starting spots. But, you know, next year you want to definitely look at getting another one. And then I think on defense, you're really going to be looking at defensive tackle for sure. Linebacker's a potential issue. You know, we'll see what happens. They do have guys locked up long term, except for Nick Bolton. But I think Bolton's going to get an extension. And, you know, secondary wise, maybe a corner, maybe some cornerback depth. But, you know, again, you know, you've got three good corners on your roster. One of those three is really great. We'll see what happens with Kamal Haddon. And you've got like a ton of safeties on your roster. So we thought safety might be a need for next season with Justin Reed more than likely leaving. But now you look at the roster, and they've got a kind of an overabundance of safeties on the roster.
And maybe a running back, if you want.
Possibly, yeah.
They did bring in Carson Steele, who led the MAC in rushing 2 years ago. Then he went to UCLA, had a productive year out there. But they can, he's a big guy, too, so he could play fullback or whatever. Right, they don't have one on the roster because they didn't last year.
Right.
I'm interested to see. And then you look, and then it's going to be the running back situation is going to be interesting for the Chiefs. Maybe one getting forward because Pacheco, you're getting down there and you used Pacheco a ton. What else are they going to be bringing in? But I think running backs, one of those positions they'll be talking about in the future.
Yeah, I do think running back, I think I can see next year, yeah, running back being something that a lot of people are talking about for day two. You know, there's always good running backs coming out in the draft. I don't really recall a bad running back draft. There's some that have been lighter than others, but like I don't recall a really bad one for the draft. So there's certainly going to be some guys out there that, you know, we're going to be looking at here a year from now as potential targets for the Chiefs on day two. But you know, I mean, this has been a lot of fun here the last, you know, we've been doing this now for 14 months. Mm-hmm. And, man, like...
Two drafts in the books.
And this draft, we were on a lot more than we were last year.
Yeah.
Last year we did Thursday coverage was a lot. Friday coverage, you know, the Royals game ate into it, so we lost an
obviously
hour
the Royals schedule kind of benefited this year.
Yeah.
Except that little delay Thursday.
Yeah, and then Saturday, the Saturday coverage was a little tough because we had Saturday last year, we were only on the air for 2 hours. So yeah. This year, we were on the air for 4 hours, and we got to see – we were on for the fourth round picks, and then we just barely missed the fifth round pick.
It makes fun. It makes, you know, watching the games each and every week, guys you talked about and
right.
watched college film and seeing them play in the NFL. It's fun. And watching this Chiefs rookie class is going to be a lot of fun going forward.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to the evaluations. So we're not going to be back again until trying to do the blind like hit stick. And they can miss tackles every now and then because of that. So aside from that, though, big, strong, physical, and it gives you, I think, a lot of confidence that those guys can be impact players for the team here in the near future. And then finally, round seven, they took C.J. Hansen, a guard, an offensive lineman, you know, guard. He was from Holy Cross and, you know, really – more depth. I don't expect him to make the team. I think he might be more of a practice squad guy, depth guy. But they really kind of hit on really all the needs that they had and some of the like secondary needs, like getting, you know, some depth on the offensive
line. The athletic
line.
Profile, that RAS. I mean, he
tested well.
He's strong in that.
All these guys tested well, athletic
I think
profile.
The second guy drafted from Holy Cross, FCS
yeah.
school.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, but so the breakdown, one wide receiver, obviously three offensive linemen, tight end, two defensive players. So. Five offensive, two defensive players.
And we said
players.
It needed to be an offensive draft for sure. Like maybe one or two defensive guys, but it had to be an offensive draft.
And not only that, rounds 5 through 7, Veach, you know, talked about that. It's thin. And the depth wasn't there as much because the name, image, and likeness. Guys are staying in school longer. They're getting that check. They're saying, you know what, I'd probably make more money here at my school than being a fifth or sixth round pick. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, said the same thing, that, you know, having trouble filling out those rosters for the Senior Bowl. Because in the depth between rounds 5 and 7, it's just different. Get ready for the draft to be different rounds 5 through 7 with depth purposes.
So getting to the evaluation part of the draft, obviously, like, the grades don't really mean that much right now. But I if I were to give a grade to it, I'd have to say an A for how they handled everything. They handled all their needs. They went offensive heavy, which is something we've been talking about for I mean, really, in the last year and a half now, because we were talking about a lot going into last year's draft. And well, not a year and a half, just over a year. And I really think they addressed exactly what they needed. They did not reach at any position, I thought. I actually thought they maximized their value. And you kind of look at it, and you know, you didn't have a ton of draft capital. You didn't have very many valuable picks. Veach talked about that a lot on Thursday night about the lack of value for their picks. And yet they still found a way to find great value with what they did. I mean, I think at this point now, like he showed you what could be another masterclass in handling the draft for a contending team.
And you have to have it. I mean, you look, I know Mahomes and Reed, you know, they deserve their accolades. But you got to have a good front office, man. You got to have a good front office to supply the talent. If you want to keep this thing up and not be like the Bucs to win the Super Bowl and disappear, be the Rams win the Super Bowl and disappear, Chiefs just keep going. They keep going because Veach is supplying the talent. They flipped this roster completely since when Mahomes has gotten here, and they keep bringing in fresh talent. But you got to do this stuff from the scouts on to Brett Veach. You constantly got to do it. And just like, you know, I've said before that, you know, at the parade after the Eagles Super Bowl, Veach, like, this is what a rebuild looks like, holding the Lombardi. And,
yeah,
you know, it's 61 starts for rookies that year. It was third in the NFL. Number one and two, pick number one and two in the draft. So he's getting the guys, and they're expected to perform. It's, you're kind of all on mode like the Steelers used to be and like the Patriots when you're drafted by the team. It's not like if you get drafted by the Cardinals or in Detroit in the past, not necessarily last year, but you still have the training wheels. You know, you don't have nearly as many expectations. We should get some acclimated, play in the National Football League, and you'll be ready next year. No, it's not the Chiefs. It's not about getting you ready for next year, whatever. Getting ready now. They're on a wood mission to three-peat right now, and it's drafting. 2 years ago, I felt, was draft for necessity. Last year was kind of luxury draft with some of the positions. This year, it was kind of both. Because you know Xavier's going to, you know, get in that rotation. Jaden Hicks, you definitely will see, you know, in this rotation. Jared Wiley will get his run with 12 and 13 personnel. Norzad, you hope to not use him as much this year because it means you got,
some injury. Yeah.
Kamal Haddon, the same thing, not expect as much this year. But picks one, the first, you know, four picks with Worthy and Kingsley and Jared and Jaden, expecting these guys to play. I think they're contributing the back half of the draft, maybe not so much the first, you know, four picks. I expect these guys to be contributors on this football team.
So the way I view it is that I think you were drafting for 2025 this year because I don't think you had any immediate needs with Hollywood Brown. You didn't need a wide receiver for this year. You needed a wide receiver for the long term. You needed a left tackle for the long term. You needed offensive lineman for the long term. Like, this year's roster, I think, was fine. I mean, you could argue Wanya Morris, left tackle, but they could always get Donovan Smith and come in and compete with him. But I think you drafted for future needs. You're going to need some
Worthy guards. Will be used, obviously, with Rice.
He will, but like, they didn't.
Worthy will be the most productive of but these they rookies, need, I hope, they being a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think so, too. They didn't need to have him, but it was more of a long-term thing for 25 and beyond.
They got that speed quotient back, man. Legion of Zoom's back.
Right. And so I think that's where I think this was a draft of addressing the future. This was, we are going to hit on everything that we probably will need to hit in a year from. And if we hit on most of these things, next year's draft is a hell of a lot easier. And, you know, I think that you look at the 25 draft now, and it's like, you don't have quite as many problems, quite as many issues to address. And now you're getting ahead of the problem because that was kind of the issue with the 22 draft, was that they needed guys to come in and immediately be impactful. And it worked. It actually ended up working out because you got multiple starters. You got three guys who were starter quality at cornerback, and you got a starter. You got a starting edge rusher there with Karloftis, and you got a starter quality safety with Brian Cook. You know, starter quality linebacker with Leo Chanel. But it was not one of those. It was one of those drafts where like they needed to hit on a lot of those guys, and they needed them to be contributors. Last year, you definitely needed to get some more hits there on defense and build out your depth. But this year, I think, yeah, you're really just trying to address future needs. And there's not that many teams that have the luxury to do that. There's a lot of teams that very much need guys to come in and be impactful because they're deficient at something.
It's clearly a draft for Mahomes. I mean, this was Mahomes in mind. I mean, I remember last year sitting at the center block that Friday night, and I looked at you and Nick when I was there. I was like, all right, this is Mahomes' night. Make this about him.
Yeah.
And it was Rashee Rice and Wanya Morris. I was like, all right, make this the Mahomes' night. And they did. And this draft, you know, I mean, protection-wise and weapons to throw to. This is a very Mahomes. Not only that, they get some guys that played down in Texas. Xavier Worthy, even though not a Texas guy, played at Texas. And you got Jared Wiley, a high school quarterback from Texas that was at Texas and TCU. So, but this was all about Mahomes, this draft.
So, you know, kind of looking at where this team needs to go in the future, I mean, I think certainly next year, I think that the leader in the clubhouse as far as position that they got to hit on next year is going to be defensive tackle. They got a whole bunch of one-year deal guys. And, you know, after this year, you're only going to have two guys under contract.
It's a better-looking class than this year, actually.
Yeah, it is. It was a much better-looking class. And this year's class at defensive tackle was good, but next year's class looks a lot better, at least right now. That could change, but I certainly think first-round defensive tackle is where you're going to be looking for the Chiefs on defense.
Yeah, I mean, corner, I don't think is imperative. We'll see what happens.
I don't think it's imperative. They got a lot of DBs, man.
They have a lot of DBs. We'll see how Wiley turns out. Will it still be, you know, tied into, you know, thinking, okay,
yeah,
one more year of Kelsey,
we
get behind him. I still think wide receiver will be there if the right guy, the right situation, the right size, that's kind of different than the piece than what they have. Bottom line is a lot of things in play. A lot of things in play. A lot of directions they could go. Linebacker, too, is something they're probably going to have to address in the future. And offensive line, I mean, still in the interior part of the offensive line. The good news is there's not that one pressing need. But they can bolster this team for the future.
I think offensively, it'd be nice to go get like a slot receiver some point in the draft. I don't know if you need to address that. I don't think you need to address that day one, unless there's just a guy sitting there you just can't pass up. But I certainly think like day two, day three, you look at getting a slot receiver. I also do think, yeah, maybe a guard. Yeah, that'll be guard or a center. That'll be nice. Norzad, I think, is a guy that they're going to definitely see what he can do. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up getting one of those starting spots. But, you know, next year you want to definitely look at getting another one. And then I think on defense, you're really going to be looking at defensive tackle for sure. Linebacker's a potential issue. You know, we'll see what happens. They do have guys locked up long term, except for Nick Bolton. But I think Bolton's going to get an extension. And, you know, secondary wise, maybe a corner, maybe some cornerback depth. But, you know, again, you know, you've got three good corners on your roster. One of those three is really great. We'll see what happens with Kamal Haddon. And you've got like a ton of safeties on your roster. So we thought safety might be a need for next season with Justin Reed more than likely leaving. But now you look at the roster and they've got kind of an overabundance of safeties on the roster.
And maybe a running back if you want.
Possibly, yeah.
They did bring in Carson Steele, who led the MAC in rushing 2 years ago. Then he went to UCLA. Had a productive year out there, but he's a big guy, too, so he could play fullback or whatever.
Right,
they don't
have
one on the roster because they didn't last year.
Right.
I'm interested to see. And then it's going to be the running back situation is going to be interesting for the Chiefs. Maybe one getting forward because Pacheco, you're getting down there and you've used Pacheco a ton. What else are they going to be bringing in? But I think running backs, one of those positions they'll be talking about in the future.
Yeah, I do think running back. I think I can see next year, yeah, running back being something that a lot of people are talking about for day two. You know, there's always good running backs coming out in the draft. I don't really recall a bad running back draft. There's some that have been lighter than others, but like I don't recall a really bad one for the draft. So there's certainly going to be some guys out there that, you know, we're going to be looking at here a year from now as potential targets for the Chiefs on day two, but. You know, I mean, this has been a lot of fun here the last, we've been doing this now for 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
And man, like
two drafts in the books.
And this draft, we were on a lot more than we were last year.
Yeah.
Last year we did Thursday coverage was a lot. Friday coverage, you know, the Royals game ate into it, so we lost an
obviously
hour
the
half.
Royals schedule kind of benefited this year.
Yeah.
Except that little delay Thursday.
Yeah, and then Saturday, the Saturday coverage was a little tough because we had Saturday last year, we were only on the air for 2 hours. So yeah. This year, we were on the air for 4 hours. And we got to see, we were on for the fourth round picks, and then we just barely missed the fifth round
pick. Makes fun. It makes, you know, watching the games each and every week, guys you talked about and
right.
watched college film and seeing them play in the NFL. It's fun. And watching this Chiefs rookie class is going to be a lot of fun going forward.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to the evaluations. So we're not going to be back again until probably after mandatory minicamp. At that point, we can talk about rookie minicamp and how mandatory minicamp went and any news that comes out of that. And then probably after that, we'll probably do a preview for training camp. You know, players to look out for, battles to look out for. And then after that, probably won't be back until like maybe the week before week zero.
That's what that's always the fun time, that week zero, right? When you and I are looking at matchups and
So we'll
potential players in the draft.
We'll definitely preview positions to look out for, players at each position to look out for. I mean, I haven't started it yet, but I imagine at some point this week I'll start using some of these way too earlies to build out some prospect watch list for 2024.
I'm about a month out from doing my yearly shopping spree for the college football magazines. I'm still a junkie on those.
Oh yeah, you are. You do get that, and you get the media guides too.
Every year,
too.
So it's what I do every June. I go out and get them and start getting prepared for 134 FBS teams.
Yeah, I will. Like I said, I'm gonna create a Google sheet that has all of the guys being mocked early on the way too earlies to the teams, and you know that's going to create my watch list that I create every year for college football, just to kind of watch these prospects. So we take a little bit of a break here, we're in an off season here a little bit, and then we get back in you know, a little bit, was it 3.5 months, we'll be back at it again.
Yeah, this off season's gone from the Super Bowl to now fast.
And the Super Bowl certainly kind of extends everything because
it's amazing. The draft's already over.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. So it's been great working with you. We've done this for 14 months now. You know, I think we've done a great product here. It's been a lot of fun. But I think we're both exhausted from this past weekend.
A lot of draft talk the last couple of days.
Of draft talk. And, you know, like I said, it's great that 610 gives us this platform able to do this.
Yeah,
and
big thanks to them.
Yeah, like I said, we appreciate everyone that came out to the landing in Liberty on Thursday night. And, you know, tons of people, they jumped in on the mock draft contest. I don't really remember all the picks that we made on the thing, so like I don't know how well we did. There were some surprises. We only thought four quarterbacks would go, and ended up being six. So
it was weird. 23 offensive players. That was the record. Previous record was 19.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. You know, I don't know if you heard like Laiatu Latu went to 15. Chris Ballard was laughing in the war room.
He's like, hey, what the hell, man?
He just followed to us. Edge rusher in the draft.
That's right.
He was out there just laughing on camera like that. So
he's,
you know,
blast.
The draft is such a unique thing in sports. The NFL draft is the most unique of them. And, you know, we got a lot of great love for it, and that's why we do this. So
775,000 people went to the draft in Detroit. That shows you.
It's an event.
The interest level of people going to watch people read names.
Yes. Yeah, just literally
it builds your team up, man. Having all those fan bases there, man.
Watch
your future.
Watch kid hold up jerseys and wear a cap. And
great feeling, man.
Yeah, it's one of the most unique things. I'm sure people in other countries who don't have draft in their sports don't really understand the
fever behind
it. It's
a phenomenon all its own.
Yeah, it's definitely weird, but you know, we love it, and we appreciate the people that listen to us and love it as well, because you guys are the reason why we're able to do this. So that's it from us. Like I said, we'll be back again after mandatory minicamp, but I really enjoyed what we did here, and I definitely think that we can keep this thing going for a while.
We will see you soon.
Yes, we will see you soon, but yeah, we need a break from all this college football and NFL draft talk. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. Thanks again for listening to us, and this is the Character Concerns Podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.